LBC Radio Lancashire
with John Gilmore.
And a very good afternoon to you on the programme today. I'll be talking to Professor Stephen Harding about his new book about the Vikings in Lancashire, finding out why Northern Soul has them spinning in Milan, and welcoming our trading standards expert into the studio.
LBC Radio Lancashire. Gilly in the afternoon
on LBC Radio Lancashire.
Now, between 800 and 1050 AD, Europe and the North Atlantic was dominated by a formidable race of pagan Scandinavian warriors. They possessed both the navigational skills and bravery essential to venture as far as Constantinople, Greenland and Lancashire. They were, of course, the Vikings, and today's evidence of their presence in the county can be found in place names, surnames, even in our DNA. A new book, Viking DNA, the Wirral and West Lancs Project, highlights the legacy of the Vikings in Lancashire, and I'm pleased to say the author, Professor Stephen Harding, joins me, along with Dave Swindlehurst, who's been involved in Viking research for many years, and indeed has Viking DNA. Welcome this afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, Stephen, just tell me a little bit about the book and your research.
Right, well, the book is not just by me, it's by me with two colleagues from the University of Leicester, Turi King and Mark Jobling. But it represents the culmination of several years' research into the genetic heritage of the Northwest, which is still ongoing. We started the work in 2002, surveying Wirral and West Lancashire. Academics, it takes a little while for the results to come out, I'm afraid, but they have, and they're quite interesting, and it's ongoing. We're now on to North Lancashire, Cumbria, dare I say the word, Yorkshire? Is that allowed in this show?
It's allowed in Yorkshire.
And the north of England in general. So it's been in good fun, and it's been the main results were published 2.5 years ago in a scientific paper, but after popular request, we've tried to put it in a form that the general public can follow. And Viking DNA is a mix of the background behind the Vikings in the area, place names, archaeology, and all the other evidence, and then genetics, what the DNA method is about, how we can probe ancestry using the method, and indeed the results, which for West Lancashire anyway to start off with, has been very, very pleasing.
So obviously a lot of research went into the book. What date can we trace the Vikings back to here in Lancashire then?
Well, we think that the first settlements of Norwegian Vikings was around the year 902 or after that. Before that time, there was a huge settlement in Ireland, particularly around Dublin. And then the Irish annals tell us that around the year AD 902, there was a huge battle, and the Vikings were expelled. The annals tell us of about one adventurer called Ingemund, who landed in the Wirral. But it's quite clear that from all the place names and everything else that they spread out across the coastal plain from Wirral, West Lancashire, North Lancashire, Cumbria, of course, up to the Solway. So the early part of the 10th century, 900s, and after that, that's when they came in.
How with place names, what sort of names would give it away that, you know, the Vikings have been here, would you say?
Well, there's loads of names. I mean, all the BY names, for a start, place names with BY on the end, Hornby, West Derby, Crosby, Formby, places like this. But also lots of other names, like Skares Brick. One of my favourites is Latham, which actually means at the barns, which shows that a rather advanced type of Scandinavian speech was being spoken in here. Not just the barns, but at the barns. Leyland and Claughton Thingwall in southwest Lancashire. That's where they had the their assembly, their place of assembly, Ormskirk, Orms Church. And further north, you've got Kirkby and Claughton and loads of places. Give me.
What about
3 hours? I'll carry on.
What about surnames as well? I mean.
Well, surnames is more difficult to trace because surnames didn't come into being as in the form we know, you know, in terms of being passed down the paternal line, not until the 14th century. So surnames don't go back right to the Viking times. Most of them don't anyway. But there are many surnames with Viking elements. One of my favourites is Crombleholm. Holm actually comes from Old Norse, meaning an island on some marshy area. Car, when you have someone called Car, C-A-R-R, again, it means a marshy land. So there's lots of surnames which have Viking elements in it. And when we were doing the research, the link with surnames was very important because when we were doing the DNA testing, in selecting volunteers to take part, we had to get behind the problem of the large population movements that occurred after the Industrial Revolution. And the way we got around that was to use volunteers who could show they had surnames that were present in the area prior to 1600. And by doing that, we were able to get some very successful results with the DNA.
We'll come back. We'll chat some more after the headlines at 2:30. This one takes us on BBC Radio Lancashire. This is the Monkees, Daydream Believer. Good afternoon.
Oh, I could hide 'neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Cheer up, sleepy Jean, oh, what can it mean to a daydream? Of me as a white knight on his steed. Now you know how happy I can be. Oh, and our good time starts and ends without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we?
The Monkees, Daydream Believer. It's BBC Radio Lancashire. John Gilmore, Gilly till 4. Brett along at 4 this afternoon, rounding up all the day's news and events. An hour of sport from 6 this evening. Of course, the early previews of the weekend action. Very busy weekend for the sports team, as ever. That's between 6 and 7. You're listening to BBC Radio Lancashire. A very good afternoon. It's 29 minutes to 3.
The news headlines, I'm David Bailey. A commuter plane travelling from Belfast has crashed at Cork Airport in Southern Ireland, killing six people. The Blackburn MP Jack Straw has been one of the first to speak out in the Commons against prisoners having the right to vote at elections. Two women in their early 20s have been arrested after two people were stabbed outside a nightclub in Blackpool. Heroin, a stun gun, baseball bats and a large amount of cash have been found by police during raids on the homes of suspected drug dealers in Burnley. The Bank of England's keeping interest rates at a half of 1%. A trader's welcoming plans to move Lancaster's indoor market to the City Museum. And the former England cricketer Trevor Bailey, who later became famous for his Test match special commentaries, has died in a fire at the age of 87. The weather, the rest of the afternoon will be dry and bright with a top temperature of 11 Celsius, 52 Fahrenheit. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
The Lancashire Derby. The return.
Adam Barton, 1-1! Well done, Adam Barton! One is crosses, Rodriguez!
Starring Preston North End.
Here's Schultz at Ledger with a real chance of Preston are in front.
And Burnley.
Into the D, up to the goalkeeper, and scores for Seagulls.
Coming soon on FM, on AM, on DAB. Your team, your station, BBC Radio Lancashire.
Just can't hold on. I feel we belong. My
Michael Jackson, I Just Can't Stop Loving You. It's BBC Radio Lancashire Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon. John Gilmore, Gilly till four today. Nice to have your company this afternoon. Lots to come between now and four. We're talking Vikings and Viking DNA this afternoon. My studio guest, Stephen Harding, and also Dave Swindlehurst as well. We were talking about names there and places, Steve, of course. What about Vikings? I mean, were they a truly fierce race, as we tend them to believe to be?
Yeah, to a large extent. But don't forget, at that time, everybody was just about fierce. And like any population, you had the mix of people. I used to say, when Magnus was still alive, that compare Vikings with Magnus Magnusson rather than Kirk Douglas. And to some extent, Dave would disagree, I'm sure, that's true. But they could use violence when they had to, and that was just how they were.
Were there many myths around them? I mean, the way they dressed. I mean, did they wear, you know, the horns, or is that just a myth, really?
Well, sadly, the horns is a myth. Although, if people want to think of Vikings like that, that's fine. It was really an invention by the Victorians and people like Wagner in their operas and things, were these horns. But it had this romantic feel about it, and that's how it got propagated to an extent, that everyone believed that Vikings had horns on their helmets. But this is not true, and it'd be totally impractical to have horns when you're fighting and things. It would give the opponents a huge advantage. You know, just grab the horn, you're gone. So, sadly, that's not true.
They were real explorers, though, weren't they, the Vikings?
Indeed. Well, that was because they were superb boat builders. They had the apparatus to explore. They were fantastic boat builders, and they were great navigators. And that, coupled with the great sense of adventure, made them such a fantastic success. And one can understand the way people these days like to associate themselves with Vikings, because of the sheer bravado. It's quite different when we were at school, when we were told that there were baddies, you know, and Alfred the Great would defend us against these people. But in reality, that's quite different. And now, of course, we find from all the DNA research and things that they're actually part of us, part of our of what we are now. So I think that changes the whole perception of how we do Vikings.
With the DNA research, did you have plenty of volunteers come forward for that?
It's interesting, because when this was first starting out, it was very difficult getting volunteers. I mean, the DNA test, it's essentially, when looking at ancestry, because we get DNA from our mums and dads, and it's all mixed up. A part of our DNA comes down from our mums without change. It's passed down. It's called mitochondrial DNA. So we can use this as a test for maternal ancestry, and both men and women can test for the maternal ancestry. But men, we have this thing called the Y chromosome. It's that makes us men, and on this Y chromosome, it's just from our fathers. There's no part of that DNA which comes from our mums. So if we can analyse the DNA on this Y chromosome, it gives us a marker for ancestry. So Dave, you and myself, we have the Y chromosome that's been passed down from our paternal ancestors, you know, father to son to son to son, for, you know, thousands of years. And this gives us the test of where we're from. So we sample a person's Y chromosome. What we do is you take a mouse swab, no bloodletting, and then
do people think it's to do with blood tests when you mention DNA?
In a way they do, but also it's regarded as an intrusion. At first, it was very difficult, as I said, to get males to come forward. They were suspicious it would be the data would be handed to the police, or we might clone them or something. But it's changed now. It's hard to fight volunteers back. They want to take part. Now they realise that the ethics are very strong on this, and we do not divulge the results to anybody or the police. They want to take part. People want to find out about their past. So, yeah, there's no difficulty getting volunteers now.
And what about you, Dave? Dave Swindlehurst, were you a volunteer in this? Did you
I volunteered to have my DNA, excuse me, sampled, because I thought it was a good idea. And as Steve says, now, you know, you've got to fight people off. They're only too keen to find out who they are and where they came from.
So what's your involvement in this then? Because I know you've started a website and you're responsible for a website and you're trying to track down, I think, all the Swindlehursts wherever they are.
We currently have
that's
them
a mammoth in, task, isn't it?
Canada, the USA, Chile, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia. We want all Swindlehursts to get in touch with us so we can develop a complete Swindlehurst internet, all of our own. So that everybody knows everybody, and we've just got one big clan. Research into the family history has been going on for a long number of years by some very dedicated people. And I was contacted a few years ago by one of these men to say, look, would I be interested in taking part in the family research? Which I was glad to do, but I also learned very quickly that all this massive information which had been collected wasn't collated. It was held on individual databases in individual computers. So I volunteered and was sort of promoted immediately into producing a website where all the information is held in a central single database available to any Swindlehurst or indeed any other individual who wants to have a check on us. It's all there on the website, and we would like every Swindlehurst everywhere to get in touch with us.
That's a mammoth task though, isn't it?
Well, yes, I suppose there would be a lot of work, but if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing completely, isn't it? So, yeah, bring in, please.
Bring on the Swindlehurst. We'll come back and chat some more after the travel at 3:15 this afternoon on BBC Radio Lancashire. This is Heart and Alone, 18 minutes to 3. Good afternoon. Alone on BBC Radio Lancashire. 14 minutes to three. Let's get the latest on the county's roads.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
Greg Simons with the latest on the roads. The work continues in Preston. Water main work, this is, on the aptly titled Watery Lane. Closed heading out from West Strand to Swansea Street. Portway forms part of the diversion near the Alston factory. Morecambe, Heesham Road. Resurfacing work means the stop-go boards on the A589 between Rydal Road and the promenade at Sandylands. The work should be scaled back in time for this afternoon's rush hour, though. For the here and now, not too bad. If you do spot something, you can always give us a call. It's 0800 07 25207.
You'll find more travel information at
bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
And a very good afternoon to you, John Gilmore, Gilly till four this afternoon. Lots to come between now and then. We're talking Vikings and Viking DNA between now and 3 o'clock with my guests this afternoon, Professor Stephen Harding and also Dave Swindlehurst, who's trying to track down Swindlehursts everywhere, which of course is a good Lancashire name. We'll talk more to Dave in a moment here on BBC Radio Lancashire. Quick reminder, Brett's along at four this afternoon with us through till 6 o'clock, rounding up all the day's news events here on BBC Radio Lancashire. And if you've been fed up with being cooped up inside for the last few months, if that's how you feel, then listen to Brett this afternoon on the Tea Time programme. You may just have the answer. Tune in, hear all about it from four here on BBC Radio Lancashire.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
Chris Rea, Let's Dance. It's BBC Radio Lancashire, 8 minutes to three. Dave Swindlehurst with me, and Professor Steve Harding as well. We're talking about the Vikings and Viking DNA and all the testing that you've been doing, and also the name, the surname Swindlehurst. Now, that is, I believe, a good Viking name, that, Dave, is, and a Lancashire name as well.
It's a Lancashire name. It's one of the oldest names in Lancashire from when surnames first started coming into use. Our earliest record goes back to 1189 AD, over 800 years ago. And we are very proud to carry it 800 years later.
Over that time, though, did the name get changed, any variations on the name?
Yes,
Swindlehurst?
It has changed quite considerably in some respects. In the 1600s, we currently have a list of 36 different spellings, quite a few of which have developed in their own right, but are Swindlehurst originally. And the original name, currently believed to be our first, very first surname, is actually Swinleyhurst. And the Swindlehurst has developed from that by the addition of Norman French after the Norman invasion in 1066.
Well, when people, you know, went to get married, was that sometimes when the name changed a little bit, maybe?
Yes,
Clarks,
indeed.
Who might be couldn't spell.
Well, precisely. Most people couldn't read or write. Even the scribes couldn't read or write very well.
So it was just a good guess then?
Absolutely. It's just pure guess as to what actually came out of the end of the pencil. Yes, hence all these variations.
And obviously your appeal is to get everybody with the name Swindlehurst or a variation on Swindlehurst to go on and have a look and sort of register on your website. And you want to hear everybody. That's a mammoth task of tracking everybody down, that, isn't it? But you're doing quite well worldwide at the moment.
Oh, we've got quite a few people around the world, yes. The reason why we're so interested is that at the minute, a database consists just a series of dry dates. What we want to do is to put flesh on the skeleton of those dates. And when, therefore we need people's personal stories, what they know about their ancestors, or what legends they've brought down with them from their parents and grandparents. And we can only do that by getting everybody involved. So hence, we want everybody to get in touch with us.
But what's your story then? Did you have a DNA test?
I have been DNA tested, but although not for this particular purpose. Like most people, I've always had a vague interest in where I came from, who my parents were, what our origins were. And when the opportunity came to get to become involved in the DNA research and the Swindlehurst family research, and this fantastic job that these people have done tying those two together, you know, how can you not be interested? Yeah, it's been a really big thing for me in my life.
And I know, Stephen, you tested people on the Wirral, you tested people in West Lancashire. Was there a difference, any difference that you found during the results of those tests?
Surprisingly not, actually. Both Wirral and West Lancashire, the old families from Wirral, West Lancashire, showed strong DNA from Scandinavia, almost up to 50%. And it's quite odd that with different volunteer base that they gave very, very similar results. But I have to say that we could only choose one surname, a volunteer one with one surname. We couldn't have multi surnames taking part in the multiples of one surname taking part in the survey, because that would bias the data. But what we did with the Swindlehursts is it was very important to show that there was a connection between DNA and surnames, and they proved absolutely fantastic for us, because I think of all the Swindlehursts that were tested, it seems like 70 of them, 80% all had the same DNA type. And also, in the case of the Swindlehurst, a DNA type that was very strongly present in Norway, a type called R1A1. And with R1A1, it's probably the only definitive test for an individual for Viking ancestry, one we can be absolutely sure about. So long as the Swindlehurst didn't have any Eastern European, Polish,
nope.
Or Indian.
Nope. We're Vikings.
Yeah. I'm proud of it. Now then, just before you go, because you told me a wonderful story that somebody confused you with the DNA. by sending in the DNA of their cat, I think.
That's right. We trust on the integrity of our volunteers, but we had some rather strange results came back, and it turned out that someone had swabbed the cat and sent the sample through.
Did it turn out to be a Viking cat?
No, it certainly didn't.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. If you want further info, by the way, on that website, we've got it all on the BBC Radio Lancashire Help Desk. Thank you to Dave Swindlehurst and Professor Stephen Harding for calling in this afternoon. News at 3 on the way. This is Diana Ross. Good afternoon.